This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tighe.
And I'm Bonnie North. We hear a lot about how divided the Milwaukee area is. Divided by politics, divided by income level, divided by race. In many ways, it's a city of haves and have-nots. And one area that is nearly always included in the list of have-nots is the zip code 53206.
It's an area that includes more than 2.5 square miles on Milwaukee's near north side. It's home to about 29,000 people, the vast majority African American. As the economy recovers around the state, the most recent data shows about two-thirds of the children in 53206 live in poverty, and only just over a third of the working-age men in the area have a job.
But writer Barbara Miner wanted to look beyond the statistics for a Milwaukee Magazine feature. She explains what she tried to accomplish.
One of the things that assumptions that I took into working on the article is that in general, and I don't care who you are, in general, you fear what you don't know. And there's too much fear in this city, fear of other neighborhoods, fear of other people. And so one of the things that I tried to do with the article was to show the people of 53206 as people, and that we need, as a city, to break down these barriers of fear. We need to break down policies that are based on fear, and we need to deal with the very destructive racial dynamics that separate neighborhoods and people and that allow the powers that be to dismiss entire neighborhoods, tens of thousands of people. They just say, oh, that's 53206, forget about it.
The feature runs in this month's issue, and in it, Barbara Miner introduces us to, as she terms it, everyday people doing their best. Among them is an 83-year-old pharmacist named Lester Carter Jr., or to just about everyone who knows him, Dr. Carter. Carter Drugs has served the community for nearly 50 years, since he bought the shop from a German pharmacist. We sat down with Dr. Carter and with Barbara Miner in the studio, and he recalled his early days serving a neighborhood that was then largely German.
I moved to Milwaukee in 68, and I would say the best move I ever made in my life, because by coming here and finding a store that was just suitable for me. It was set up so one pharmacist could work it. Of course, the previous owner stayed with me until he passed away, which was about 15 years. So we worked together. Now, here's a black guy from Nebraska coming to Milwaukee and didn't know, hardly could find his way from one street to the other, going into a German store in a German neighborhood at that time. And you think, my God, how could the guy last? In fact, the previous place that I had worked, when he found out where I was going, was so upset. He says, well, you won't last 6 months here. You don't know the neighborhood. You don't know the people. You don't know the city. It's a German store. How do you expect to last? I said, well, I'll just give it my best shot and see where we go. 47 years later, I guess I showed him that it could be done.
Barbara Miner, let me ask you a question. Why is Dr. Carter's story one that you wanted to represent in this bigger picture that you were painting?
Well, one of the issues around 53206 is that there's just so many stereotypes. And the stereotypes really reduce people to numbers and statistics. And I was interviewing a woman who's a parent coordinator at Our Avenue down the block. A wonderful woman, knows the neighborhood like the back of her hand. And she says, well, I got to get going. I'm going over to Dr. Carter's. I got to work there. She said, have you met Dr. Carter? And I was embarrassed to say, I don't know who. You know. And she said, well, you got to go meet Dr. Carter. And I just, it was like, probably of all the people I interviewed, probably the most iconic figure, because I soon found out that everyone in the neighborhood knew Dr. Carter. And I got emails and Facebook posts from Tennessee, Mississippi, and they'd say, Dr. Carter, he fixed my pink eye. Dr. Carter, you know, he helped me when the doctor, you know, wouldn't. And I just soon learned that he was this neighborhood treasure.
Well, and the neighborhood, when you got there in 1968, was a German neighborhood.
Absolutely.
It is not a German neighborhood anymore.
No.
As the neighborhood transitioned and evolved.
Right.
Were there ever thoughts of leaving?
Never, never. In fact, when I first took over the store, German people come in and they look around. And when I was, say, out of sight or out of earshot, they'd call the past owner, Mr. Mel, over. Artie, they called him Artie because his first name was Arthur, Arthur H. Mel. Artie, do you realize that guy is black? He said, what do you mean, do I realize? I work with him every day. Yeah, but will he kill us? He said, no, no, he come from a good school, a good university. He had good training, on and on and on and on. Yeah, but I don't know. I never went to a black pharmacist. He says, well, everything is going to be all right. He said, trust me. So after the people had left, he says, now I know how we're going to solve this thing once and for all. He said, this is something that they're worried about, and they're not going to be satisfied until we solve the situation. I said, well, how are you going to do that? And he says, well, I'll tell you what. First thing in the morning, when the ladies come in, he said, you stand straight and tall. You look them directly into the eye, and you say, wie geht's, mein Frau? I said, holy mackerel. He says, just do as I tell you to do. Don't ask questions. I said, well, how about when the fellas come in? He says, you stand straight and tall. You look them in the eye. You say, wie geht's, mein Herr? I said, well, okay, if you say so, I guess you should know. You've been here 30-some years. He said, just do as I tell you to do. I said, all right, all right. So in the morning, when the ladies come in for their stuff, and I see them, and I did that, I'd greet them that way. They'd look at me and look at Mr. Mel and look around. Well, what is this? So when I wasn't around where they could hear, they would call Mr. Mel aside. Artie, you know, this guy can't be all bad. He speaks German. One means good morning, ma'am, and the other means good morning, sir. After that, it was nothing but love.
Well, and as Germans moved out of the neighborhood and it became largely a black neighborhood.
Right, right.
You probably didn't have to say Wie geht's as often.
No, no, no.
But was there something to the way that you treated customers over the course of the 47 years you had been there?
Yes, there certainly was. In fact, in Omaha, where I came, the grade school that I went to was considered the roughest grade school in the whole city. All you learn how to do was fight and raise cane and so forth. And not being in too bad a shape and had learned how to box for self-preservation in Omaha, when the little guys would come in to try me out to see what I was made of, I would meet them and, can I help you, sir? Can I help you, ma'am? They'd look at me, well, yeah, I guess so, see? But the one thing that I attribute, not just longevity, but longevity without major problems, is that I made it mandatory. Everybody, whether they're a one-year-old or 101, would be treated with respect and courtesy. Little kids would come in the store from our avenue, look around, and I'd go up front. Good morning, Miss So-and-so. Good morning, Mr. So-and-so. And they would look at me like I was from Mars. I don't think they'd ever been approached that way. But I made it mandatory. Now I got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren coming in. You know, I used to come in here and get my candy from school. And I always remember I was always treated so courteously.
Well, and that people remember that might also say something about the other places they have gone in their lives where they're not treated with that same kind of courteousness.
Heard that many times. Many, many times. In fact, I had many of them tell me they weren't treated that way at home. But I made it mandatory. Everybody was to be treated with courtesy and dignity and respect. But we had a wonderful relationship. In fact, a couple stories. Gentleman came in, maybe about a month ago, and he says, "You remember me?" And I looked at him in the face. I said, "Yeah, you were one of the little fellas lived down on 24th Street, that a regular little gangster." He said, "Thanks to you." He says, "I'm now a preacher at one of the biggest churches around there." And another fella come in. He looked like maybe in his late 30s, maybe 40. And I was waiting on a lady. So he patiently stood there and waited till I took care of the lady. And I noticed something in his hand. He had a yellow rose in his hand. I thought, "Now that's odd. I wonder what that's all about." And I didn't say anything. And finally, after I took care of the lady and she was satisfied, he says, "Mr. Carter," and I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "This is for you." And he hands me a yellow rose wrapped up in some paper and a card. And I stood there. I was just speechless. I didn't know what to say. I finally just said, "Well, thank you." I didn't know what else to say. Nothing like that had ever happened before. He says, "I just wanted to tell you that because of you, I was able to turn my life around." And turned around and walked out. Never said any more. And here I'm standing in the middle of the floor with a card and a yellow rose. Didn't know what to say. And he turned around and walked out.
At the same time, when you see what's happening in the neighborhood, it must be hard to realize there are so many other lives out there that you haven't been able to do that for.
I always had the philosophy that when you come into the world, you're going to be here a certain amount of years and then you're going to leave. Well, you can do one of two things. You can occupy space until you're ready to leave, or you can do what's possible for you to do to make life better for the people that you serve. I have been to, I'll bet you, at least a dozen or two dozen different houses in the neighborhood. Sit down at the kitchen table. Little Junior was down the store today. He was trying to snatch some candy. "Oh, no. You mean to tell me you are down at Mr. Carter's?" I said, "Yes." I talked to him. "What are we going to do?" He got straightened out. He got straightened out in a hurry. Big hurry.
Barbara Miner, I feel silly even asking this question, but what do you think both the community that is 53206 and the broader Milwaukee community can stand to learn from the experience of Dr. Carter?
I think one of the most important things is, as Dr. Carter said, treat people with respect and dignity. And I think to expand on that and to develop policies that treat neighborhoods with respect and dignity. Because 53206 it's used to sort of dismiss an entire neighborhood. Almost 30,000 people live in 53206. And yet if you say 53206, the overwhelming response from people who in more affluent, better neighborhoods in Milwaukee or around the state is, that's not a neighborhood worth saving. There's policy issues here. Where as policies, we need to treat people with respect and dignity. I mean, a lot of the problems of 53206 are not based in the people who live there. They're based on decisions made in banks and boardrooms, deindustrialization, foreclosures, There's no mass transit that takes you out to Waukesha where there's jobs. So you have all these policy decisions that write off the neighborhood. And instead, we need to develop policies that treat neighborhoods with respect and dignity. That, I think, is what we can learn from Dr. Carter.
Dr. Carter, you are nodding as Barbara Miner is saying this.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. From my standpoint, and of course I always get some rather jaundiced looks at me when I mention it, but from my standpoint, it's one of the most wonderful neighborhoods in the city. I love it. I love the people, and I love to serve the people. And if you have that type of ideology, that type of mindset, problems, sure, there's going to be problems. There's no question about it. But they're not problems that are so terrifying that they can't be overcome. But they have to be addressed in a manner that is conducive to getting people to change if they're doing something bad, to change to doing something better. See? So it's nothing that's going to happen overnight, or you can't wave a magic wand and all of the problems are going to be solved. No, that's not going to happen. But each day, if you work at it, and you'll gradually see the benefits coming about from your work. It's just like you have a piece of granite, just a tall piece of granite, and you chip away at it each day with one thing in mind, to build a beautiful statue. Little chips. It don't look like much for a long time, and finally it starts to take shape. And then all at once, my Lord, that great big piece of granite is now a beautiful statue. Well, the same way there. It's not going to happen overnight. No. But if you have the right mindset and you chip away each day to make it a little better, see, eventually, oh my God, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it can happen.
Well, Dr. Carter, I think I probably speak for everyone in saying that it's really an inspiration to think about, and it has been a real pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure discussing some of the areas that are near and dear to me.
And Barbara Miner, thank you so much for your article and for spending some time with us as well.
Thank you, Mitch.
Lester Carter Jr., Dr. Carter, recently sold Carter Drugstore to Hyatt Pharmacy, but he continues to work there 3 days a week. He's one of the people featured in Barbara Miner's feature on the 53206 zip code in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. You can read it and see her photos from a link at WUWM.com.
Keep listening. The story of a traveling fashion fair and how it empowered African-American women. It's the subject of a new exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and we'll learn more about it when Lake Effect continues on WUWM.